Thank you for standing by, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's webinar on the Greek economy in the light of recent reforms. We have with us Mr. Nicholas Bournazis, President of Capital Link Investor Relations Firm. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Wednesday, July 28, 2010. We now pass the floor to Mr. Nicholas Bournazis. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much and good morning to everyone. This is Nicholas Bournazis of Capital Link, organizer of today's event. Thank you very much for your participation and welcome to Capital Link's webinar series to discuss the Greek economy in the light of the recent reforms. This is the second webinar we are holding on the topic. Last week, Mrs. Jada Jani, Director and Senior European Economist for Citigroup Global Markets in London, presented to us on the topic of Greece and the European sovereign debt crisis, putting the developments in Greece in the context of the wider Eurozone region. Today, we have with us Professor Stournaras, who currently is the Director General of the Foundation for Economic and Industrial Research, IOV, and also a Professor of Economics at the University of Athens. Professor Stournaras will provide us with a detailed overview of the developments and outlook of the Greek economy, given the drastic measures undertaken by the current government. Given his long and distinguished track record in both the public and the private sectors, he has unique insight of the Greek economy. Naming just a few of his assignments over the years, he served as chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors at the Ministry of Economy and Finance. He participated in the design of macroeconomic and structural policies and participated in the negotiations for the entry of Greece in the Economic and Monetary Union. He also served as chairman and CEO of the Commercial Bank of Greece and held several other very high executive positions in the private sector. He is one of the very few people in Greece who know the Greek economy, not only in Greece, but globally, I would say, who know the Greek economy inside out. And he has participated with strategy formulation and implementation at several points of critical timing for Greece's overall development. So we are delighted to have him with us. We plan to hold another webinar on the topic at around the middle of September, and we will inform you in due time. Today's webinar is being recorded for our audio archive and is available through the Capital Link webinar website at www.capitallinkwebinars.com. Today's presentation will be followed by a question and answer session. Participants can submit questions through the special button on the event page titled Submit a Question, or they can email them to us at questions@capitallinkwebinars.com. You can submit a question at any time during the event. The questions will come to me, and I will then address them to Professor Stournaras. Also, please note, as you are on your screen, that the presentation slides are user-controlled. Each one of our participants can click on the proper button on his or her computer screen to move to the previous or to the next slide, or any slide you like in the presentation. Before starting today's discussion, I would like to reiterate that the purpose of this event is to foster better understanding on what is going on in Greece and Europe among the investment community. The presentation and opinions expressed by the presenter are not intended as legal or investment advice or as advice of any kind, as a matter of fact, and are provided for informational and educational purposes only, and Capital Link has no responsibility for them. Now, I will turn the floor over to Professor Stournaras, our presenter, and again, I would like to thank him for being with us and for sharing his wealth and knowledge and insight on today's topic. I cannot resist, as I do every time, to tell you that we have more than 300 people online, and a lot more people are signing in as we speak, so we're off to a great start. Professor Stournaras, please go ahead. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Nicholas. It is a great pleasure to be with you today. Good morning to those of you living in the States, and good afternoon today to the Greeks. I will present this PowerPoint presentation, and first of all, I wish to thank my colleagues in the Foundation for helping me construct this PowerPoint presentation today. This is actually the produce of research here in the foundation. You can see the first slide. The title is The Greek Economy in the Light of Recent Reforms. I move to the second slide, which are the crucial milestones. I start with the third slide. The title is The Greek Economy at a Glance. What are the main issues? First of all, I would start by saying that we had 15 years of overperformance. That is, we had a growth rate 2 percentage points higher than that in the Eurozone for 15 years, from 1994 to 2008. We had a fiscal derailment in the last 2 years, in 2008 and 2009. Actually, we had a paradox. From 2004 to 2009, we had a conservative government in name, but was not conservative at all, in the sense that it expanded the limits of the state. It appointed more than 100,000 new civil servants. We have large twin deficits, that is a high current account deficit and a high public sector deficit and high public debt, but we have relatively small private debt. I will show you the numbers later. However, I have to point out from the beginning that Greece is not alone in this. We had, and I say we had because now measures have been taken, we had a non-viable social security system, low competitiveness and structural problems. I move now to slide number four. It is true that the new government delayed to take corrective measures, but it has now adopted a comprehensive reform program. Actually, for those of you that want to see the details of this program, there are two documents in English. One is the IMF Country Report number 10/110, or a European Commission, European Economy, Occasional Paper number 61, May 2010. You can find all the measures that Greece applies now and the three-year plan for the restoration of fiscal stability and competitiveness. Although spreads have eased, they remain high, very high, I would say, still, despite tough fiscal measures. The conclusion is that restoring credibility is a difficult process. However, the good news, as I will show you, is that we have a very large growth potential and opportunities for cutting deficits. The second is that Greece has now access to a combined Eurozone IMF substantial bridge loan, 110 billion euros, which is the largest bailout ever in recent history, from what I know. It's about 50% of Greece's GDP, subject, of course, to implementing a comprehensive reform program. Incidentally, the Eurozone has extended this rescue package, the order of 750 billion euros, to all members in potential trouble, and the ECB has now used its nuclear option, that is purchase of government bonds from secondary markets. Actually, what has been achieved now, due to the Greek crisis, is a closer economic cooperation in the Eurozone. So, just to use a Marxian term, Greece has become the midwife of history. I now move to slide number five. Figure shows you that for 15 years, Greece's GDP growth rate exceeded that of the Eurozone. Move to slide number six, which is general government expenditure as a percent of GDP. That shows that the problem is rather recent. For a number of years, Greece's general government expenditure as a percent of GDP was much lower than that in the Eurozone, even during the period that Greece built the infrastructure for the Olympic Games, that is from 2001 to 2004. Still, general government expenditure as a percent of GDP was much lower than that in the Eurozone. Then it fell even further, but suddenly it started rising after 2006. It approached the average of the Eurozone in 2009, but now following the new program, a public expenditure is planned, and according to the data we have for the first semester of the year, it will approach about 48.4% by the end of the year. Moving to the next slide, slide number 7, this is general government revenue as a percent of GDP. Traditionally, general government revenue was much smaller than the rest of the Eurozone, but the situation became even worse in 2008 and 2009. Moving now to slide number 8, as a result of the previous, we had this explosion in the deficit of the general government. It approached 13.6% in 2009, but it seems now that it will end up at about 8% in 2010. Moving to the next slide, slide number 9, I will show you just a few examples of the problems, but also the opportunities presented to cut deficits. This shows the efficiency of VAT collection in OECD. So you can see that we have a very small efficiency, a very low efficiency in collecting VAT. Italy comes second, that shows, of course, the opportunity to raise revenue by tackling tax evasion or by increasing the efficiency of the tax collection mechanism. Moving to the next slide, number 10, it shows you the problem with the public sector employees. That shows both the numbers and compensation of general government employees as share of total economy. Actually, it shows that Greece is the last column. You can see that both the numbers, as a share of total numbers, is relatively big. It's only Scandinavian economies that they have a larger state in terms of number of employees compared to Greece. But what is even more important is the compensation. As a percent of the total economy, the compensation of civil servants, it's much higher than any other countries in the Eurozone. I now move to slide number 11. That shows, of course, the size of the black economy, the size of the shadow economy. Despite progress, still the black economy in Greece is 25% of GDP. As you see, it used to be 30 in the previous measurement. It has fallen now. This is the most recent publication by an economist, Mr. Snyder. This has been published in the OECD Greece at a Glance document. I now move to the next slide. That's pensions as a percent of GDP. That shows why the system was not sustainable, although in 2007 pensions amounted to about 11.7% of GDP in Greece, which was close to the Eurozone average. As you see at the end, the Euro area average was 11.1. In 2060, pensions in Greece would be 24.1% of GDP. That's a very large number, and that would lead to an explosion of public debt. Now, as a result of the measures taken already and voted by the Parliament, this 24.1 now is estimated to be 16.5. But I warn you, this is a very, very first estimate, and we have no actuarial studies yet. This is just a macroeconomic forecast. So perhaps the number is even smaller. But it shows you the impact and the seriousness of the social security reform that has already taken place. I move to the next slide, number 13. This shows you the general government debt evolution as a percent of GDP. You see that Greece's public debt was slightly falling even during the period of the construction of the Olympic, of the Olympic infrastructure. It started rising. It started rising along with the rest of the Eurozone as a result of the recession. Moving to slide number 14, you see last year's general government debt. Greece is the red column. It's very close to Italy. It's very close to 120% of GDP. I now move to slide number 15. That shows you that although public sector debt in Greece is relatively high, private sector is small. So the total, which I think this is what matters, especially in periods of crisis in Greece, is not exceedingly high. If you go to the row showing Greece, you see private debt is 92% of GDP, public debt is 112. This is then the numbers for 2009, but before the change of data, this is a rather old table by the ECB. So the total private and public debt of Greece is about 200% of GDP. Not the highest, not among the highest. You can see countries here having a much higher total. This is important. For instance, Spain has a very small public debt, only 54.3%, but it has a very high private debt. So the total is higher than Greece's. I now move to the next slide. Which shows the spreads, I call it the punishment, when Greece revealed the much higher public debt and deficit of 2009, but without at the same time explaining how it plans to reduce it. As a result, if you compare the spreads in Greece and in Ireland, Ireland is the pink line, we had same spreads, but Ireland took measures immediately when it revealed the deficits. Greece did not do it. So for a long period now, we suffer from very high spreads, even now that we have taken very serious measures to reduce the deficit. That's why I call it this figure, I call it a nemesis. If we move to the next slide, number 17, The second category of problems in Greece has to do with structural competitiveness in general. We have slid in the competitiveness league, whatever model you use. I don't want to take you time. So the period between 2004 and 2009, we have not only slid in the fiscal position, but also in the competitiveness league table. But despite this, I want to point out, if we move to the next slide, number 18, that the analysis you see sometimes in the financial press that in terms of unit labor cost, Greece is terrible, it is not. This shows relative unit labor cost. That shows that in Greece, since the creation of the euro, relative unit labor cost has increased by much less than in the rest of the European periphery. For instance, the only country that has retained competitiveness in terms of this index is Germany, which is the blue line. All other countries of the periphery, that is Greece, Spain, Italy, Portugal, and Ireland, they have lost competitiveness. Actually, Greece's loss isn't that big compared to the other countries in the European periphery. I now move to the next slide, number 19, which in my view shows just in one figure, in one table, Greece's problems and the direction of rebalancing. This shows a GDP structure on the demand side that shows consumption as a percent of GDP, both private and public, investment as a percent of GDP, both private and public, exports as a percent of GDP, and minus imports as a percent of GDP. The total is very close to one, barring statistical mistakes. So you see the problem of Greece. If you compare it with the other small open economies, we consume too much. We consume 90% of GDP, which means that we save only 10% of GDP. On the other hand, we export too little. We export only 20% of GDP. The next worst is Portugal, which exports, as you see in Portugal's row, 30% of GDP. So this shows you the direction of rebalancing. Let's say if I were a planner, I would say that Greece needs to cut consumption by 10 percentage points for the next, let's say, 5 to 6 years, and at the same time increase exports by another 10 percentage points. So this is the necessary rebalancing that Greece needs to undertake in the next years. Now move to the next slide, number 20. The result of the previous is the high current account deficit. But as you see, this is a phenomenon common to all European South. I have also shown you with the blue line that in the euro area, the current account is very close to zero as a percent of GDP. So in a nutshell, the current account deficit of the European South is approximately equal to the current account surpluses of the European North. Actually, for those of you doing economics, this is a natural phenomenon in a monetary union where there are different countries in structure, that there are capitalist advanced countries and capitalist less advanced countries. So it is natural. The bibliography shows that this is a natural phenomenon for catching up countries to run high current account deficits. So perhaps this is a natural phenomenon to a certain extent following integration. But we can come back to this important conclusion later, if you so wish. I now move to slide number 21. This shows you the most recent data on GDP change. Now, on the first quarter, Greece's performance wasn't that terrible, as expected by many analysts. We had minus 2.5% year-on-year reduction in GDP compared to, let's say, an annual, not target, but macroeconomic forecast given by the IMF and the Eurozone of minus 4. My personal view is that the number will not be that large, but we can come to that later. If we move to the next slide, number 22, it shows you the efficiency of the labor markets. It's some kind of a presentation of the Okun's law. It's the unemployment GDP ratio. So you see, the most efficient country, the most efficient labor market was Germany's, because during the recession, despite the fact that in 2009 Germany had a serious recession, we had almost no change in unemployment. So that's why I named it the most efficient labor market, that they managed to keep unemployment steady despite the huge recession in Germany. In Greece, we had a rather inefficient labor market. We were close to those countries like Spain, Portugal, Denmark, and France, where we had a relatively large change in unemployment as a result of the recession. I now move to slide number 23, which says consumer confidence. Actually, consumer confidence following the Lehman Brothers affairs had fallen both in the Eurozone and in Greece. They both started improving in 2009, but following the Greek elections and all the discussion about eventual bankruptcy in Greece and the bad fiscal results, consumer confidence in Greece collapsed. It has stabilized in the previous two months, and it has also stabilized in the Eurozone. So we feel that perhaps next month we might have an improvement in consumer confidence. Let's now move to slide number 24. Conclusions then. Extraordinary circumstances call for extraordinary measures. Greece needed a strong medicine, but I'm afraid that the political system was unwilling to provide it. So the comprehensive reform program imposed by the Troika, we call Troika the trio, the IMF, European Commission, and the ECB, is a must given the aforementioned imbalances. Actually, the Greek Parliament has voted for the reform program on May the 6th, 2010. It is now being implemented, and we have the first results. I remind you that you can find the details of this program either in the IMF country report number 10/110 or in the European Commission, European Economy Occasional Paper number 61, May 2010. I now move to the next slide, number 25, which I show you the main characteristics of the program. It's a front-loaded fiscal adjustment with a high safety margin, that is, measures are more than enough to achieve fiscal targets. I will show you the forecast later. Actually, all imbalances are being addressed. Fiscal, pension system, structural, that is, product services and labor market flexibility, and also the stability of the financial sector. Let's now move to slide number 26. This is what I call a large safety margin regarding the fiscal adjustment process. The green column is the Eurozone IMF forecast. The orange column is our forecast in our foundation. We think that the results will be better than forecast in the microeconomic scenarios of the Troika, taking into account the measures that have already been taken. For instance, I think that this year the deficit, the public sector deficit, will fall to 7.5% of GDP instead of 8.1, included in the microeconomic scenario of the Memorandum of Understanding. Next year, I think it will be close to 6% instead of 7.6%. In 2012, I think the deficit will be very close to 4% of GDP compared to the to an official forecast of 6.5%. And I think in 2013 will be below the Maastricht benchmark, that is below 3%, compared to up to around 5% given by the Troika. Let's now move to the next slide, number 27, which shows public debt as a percent of GDP. As a result of the better deficit, of the lower deficit, I think we're going to have a slower, a lower public debt compared to the official forecast. I mean, the crucial year is 2013, where the Troika has given an almost a 150%. I think that in no way Greek debt will arrive at this height. I think there are many things that the macroeconomic scenario has not been taken into account, and I will show you certain of these considerations later. Whatever, either in our scenarios or in the memorandum scenarios, Greek public debt will start falling in 2014. Actually, in 2020, you can have various numbers. I think the most pessimistic number is the one presented by the Eurozone IMF, which is 120%, but this has taken into account no privatizations and no result, no macroeconomic impact from structural reform. Actually, we think that it's relatively easy to have a general government debt to GDP ratio of close to 90% if the government if the government implements a privatization program, and I will talk to you about this later. Let's move now to the next slide, number 28. The world economy recovers. This is good for Greece. As you see, despite all this discussion about double dip, all official forecasts agree that we're going to have a V-shaped recovery. Let's take the euro area row about the middle of the table. You see that we're going to move from a minus 4% growth in 2009 to a plus 1% this year. So 5 percentage points difference is a big number. This is why this is good for Greece. This is good for Greek exports. Let's now move to the next slide, number 29. These are the macroeconomic forecasts, the short-term macroeconomic forecasts. I think, let's take 2010. GDP growth, in our view, will be closer to minus 3% rather than closer to minus 4%. percent. And what is important, look at the inflation number, the HICP, the harmonized inflation number. This is very important because it's crucial for the debt-to-GDP ratio. I think the number that is given by the IMF and the Eurozone is now out of context. Given current inflation, I think that a harmonized inflation in Greece in 2010 will be close to 4.5% rather than 1.9% given by the IMF. This is very important because having an inflation rate of 4.5, then nominal GDP growth will be close to 1% rather than negative. As you know, this is very very crucial for the debt-to-GDP ratio. You can see the numbers. I don't want to take much time because I think it's more than 35 minutes now we talk. So I move quickly to the next slide, number 30. This is very important. I want to show you, and this is research done in our foundation. We have calibrated an IMF model called GIMF. And we have tried, this is a very complicated model, but it's not very flexible because it's very large. It's not very flexible to do forecasts, but it's very good to answer questions like what's going to happen to our GDP and other main microeconomic aggregates if we open up markets, if we deregulate. So the result is very important. Going to slide number 31, going to slide number 32. This table is called the potential gains from market and institutional reforms. Results from a dynamic stochastic general equilibrium model. So the result is that structural measures like the ones that the government is implementing today, cabotage, opening up haulage, that is licenses for lorries, opening up various constraints in the private sector. So if we do this, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that the margin, the profit margin in the non-traded goods and services sector will converge to that of the Eurozone. Today, it is 15% higher. So as a result, the aggregate supply curve will move to the right. Okay, just talking now as a professor of economics. And the benefit in terms of GDP will be very large. We're going to have 17% higher GDP in the new steady state compared to today's situation. Now, if you don't believe in long-term forecasts, that is comparing steady states, I can tell you that we have worked out the dynamics of the model. Actually, you can find it in our website. Look at the study by Mr. Zonzilos. And in the next 5 years, the change of GDP will be approximately equal to 10%. That is, if GDP is 100 today, it will be 110 5 years from now as a result of deregulation. And as you see from this table here, the services sector effect, that is the non-tradable goods and services sector effect, is much larger than the labor market effect. The government is deregulating both the labor market and the services market. You see, the overall effect will be a higher GDP by 17%, higher private consumption, higher private investment, etc. This is a very important result, and this is why I said that this is something which the IMF has not taken into account in the macroeconomic scenarios. And actually, I have seen these economists, and they have told me that they have actually not taken into account this effect because they want to be very, very risk-averse. But keep in mind that this is very crucial. Now moving to the next slide, number 33. Conclusions. 34. Slide number 34. The conclusions. It was the worst economic crisis we had in Greece since 1974. I would say since the Second World War, keeping proportions. the Eurozone delayed in its response. You know, the problems with Mrs. Merkel deciding to bail out Greece, et cetera, et cetera. But now a rescue mechanism is in place. Furthermore, historical decisions were taken for the support of the euro. The Greek government, despite also initial delays, has now taken adequate fiscal and structural measures to meet the fiscal targets and improve competitiveness. The measures are front-loaded. Greece has already passed in May, in the beginning of May, all the legislation to implement the necessary reforms agreed with the Troika. This reform has three pillars, as I told you before: fiscal adjustment and social system reform. Second, structural adjustment, that is liberalization of labor, product and services markets. And third is financial stability, with the creation of a financial stability fund to help banks if needed. Moving to the next slide, number 35, we're saying that there are encouraging signals from the state budget implementation in the first semester of the year. If you go to the bottom line, that is the budget balance, actually in the first semester of the year, the budget balance is 45% lower compared to last year, first semester, compared with a target of 39.5. So this is the good thing. The bad thing is that this result has been achieved mostly as a result of expenditure cut, which is good, but also as a result of slashing the public investment program. As you see, if you go to the public investment program, you see expenditure have been cut by almost 40% compared with a target of a cut of only 4%. So this is why the emphasis from now on should be given to revenue raising, because expenditure have been cut, civil servants have seen their salaries reduced by 20%, pensioners the same, taxes have been up, VAT has been up by 4 percentage points, taxes on fuels, on alcohol, on everything possible has gone up. So now the ball is in the playground of tax evasion and of what I call structural expenditure, like waste in public hospitals, waste in public sector companies, in local authorities. We can discuss this later. Moving to the next slide, number 36, what are the potential risks? First of all, let's say negative effect on economic activity. We have taken this into account. I think the effect will be only temporary. Actually, in Greece, the economic cycle has a limited effect on the general government deficit. I mean, the estimated elasticity of nominal deficit with respect to nominal GDP is just 0.6, much lower than in the rest of the Eurozone. I can explain to you later why this happens. In the medium term, I think the only risk is comes from implementation, fatigue, management, and durability. It is very important to have social acceptance, because this is a very tough program. People have seen their incomes fallen dramatically this year. Professions are opening. You see the strike of lorry drivers for a number of days now. So a very important for social acceptance is the capture of tax evasion. Greece is a rich country with rich people, but many of them do not pay taxes. This is very important to understand. And what is the challenge for the government? We need political consensus. Political parties should not use this program as a place for populism. A third risk is if we have a double dip in the Eurozone and the world economy, but I don't think we're going to have one. Moving to the next slide, 37, this crisis is an opportunity to correct past mistakes and adjust the economy to a sustainable growth pact, and should not be wasted. In my view, the critical factors for success is leadership, political leadership mostly, accountability, responsibility, and guidance through explanation of the strategic vision. I mean, the government needs to explain to people why it does all these things. Many simple people, they don't understand what the fiscal deficit is, why we need to do that. So the government needs a communication campaign, not only to investors like you, but also to the layman. In my view, we don't only need a three-year program like the one implemented now, but we need a 10-year growth program to quantify annual 10-year targets and specify the instruments. Thank you very much.
And now we have reached the Q&A session. We have all, thank you, by the way, Professor Stumaras, for a very detailed presentation, and you clearly mastered the topic like no one else. And I would like to invite our participants to submit questions. I already have quite a few.
Okay.
So I want to remind our participants, you can submit questions through the special button on the webcast page or email them to us at questions@capitallinkwebinars.com. If you allow me, I will start with the toughest questions first. One, and this has come to me from a number of investors who are on the panel right now. Do you think that there is a possibility that Greece will have to restructure its debt obligations?
The crucial catalyst is the success of the program. I think if the program fails, you can expect everything. But if the program succeeds, and I think all the seeds for success are here, and the first semester results are very favorable, I think that Greece will avoid restructuring debt, and actually financial markets will open wide for Greece again in 2.5 years' time. That according to the program, Greece will address the markets again. Now, if markets, despite progress, are still, I would say, dysfunctioning, or they are blind to Greece's progress, I think the possibility is that the Troika will extend the 110 billion for another 3 years rather than risking any kind of restructuring or haircut or whatever. I think 110 billion is a large amount of money. So the money that has been invested in Greece is huge, and it is in no one's interest for Greece to fail, especially if Greece succeeds in implementing this very tough program. I mean, in 3 years from now, you are going to have a totally different Greek economy than you have today, both in its fiscal performance, but also, which is even more important, taking into account structural reform, privatization.
Actually, if I can support what you say, if I understand correctly, if the program doesn't work, then of course, you know, we have a failure.
I mean, if Greece decides to commit suicide, okay, I cannot comment on this.
Of
but
course.
I don't think that Greece will commit a suicide and continue implementing the program.
But exactly on that, I think it's worth pointing out that given what we have seen the Greek government to be implementing so far, and given the results that we have seen achieved so far, there is every reason to give the country the benefit of doubt that we have a strategy in place and results have been produced. And I will also mention what we heard last week from Ms. Jada Jani from Citigroup. She said the same thing you said, that let's give the country the benefit of doubt. Let's look at the short term. The trend is positive. So a lot of people are worrying that the restructuring would happen next month or the next 6 months. I don't think that there is any reason.
I mean, it's anybody's guess, but on rational arguments, there's absolutely no reason to do that. That would be bankruptcy one way or another. If we look back at history, look at Argentina, even 10 years after bankruptcy, after restructuring, it still spreads are very high. I think Greece should try to avoid it as much as possible. And I mean, now there's so much sacrifice on the part of the Greek people. That would be really suicide if we end up restructuring debt. And believe me, we are very lucky to be under the umbrella of the Eurozone. Now the Eurozone has drawn a red line, which is no bankruptcies, in my view. And this is why this 750 billion euros bailout mechanism has been created. And remember the slide I show you that the current account deficit of the European South is equal to the current account surpluses of the European North. So if markets are functioning well, these surpluses are being recycled normally. If markets are dysfunctioning, then this official mechanism of the 750 billion euros will be used to recycle the surpluses to the deficit countries. Of course, there are conditions here that GDP growth rate must be higher than the average rate, et cetera, et cetera. But in principle, the Eurozone decided to do something which should have done years ago. This is why I called Greece the midwife of history.
Well, exactly. I think if you need to refinance your debt and you go to the capital markets and you cannot refinance your debt, that's when you are faced with, restructuring or not restructuring. As long as, you mentioned, we have a support system in place.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed liquidity in the refinancing of debt. Why anybody would come with concerns about restructuring?
I'm actually surprised that talking to many analysts, especially on the other side of the Atlantic, your side, I was surprised that nobody had thought of it. The initial reactions were, okay, if Greece has a debt of 150% of GDP, then it could restructure. But nobody thought that it's a much, much higher possibility that the Troika will extend the bailout mechanism for another 3 years. Or another five years, especially if Greece succeeds in implementing the terms of the memorandum. I mean, it is in nobody's interest to have a haircut or restructuring if Greece succeeds in taking the necessary measures. Now, do you want me to take on the second question concerning the danger that Greece or another country will leave the euro? Or
well, that's exactly the second question.
I knew that. Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. I think there's absolutely no reason why this for this to happen. I read many letters. I remember the president of the American Enterprise Institute, Mr. Lachman, is writing many letters to the FT or the Economist, arguing for Greece leaving the euro. If Greece leaves the euro, what's going to happen? Immediately, let's say that Greece leaves the euro and devalues the new currency, call it drachma again. Okay. If we do that, let's say if we devalue by 30%, then Greek public debt will be revalued by 30%. Second, the Greek banking system will collapse immediately. So leaving the euro implies an automatic and immediate collapse. So I wonder that wise people don't understand this and insist on Greece on Greece's leaving the euro. Actually, devaluations in Greece never worked, except the devaluation of 1953 under the Marquezine's and Kartali's government at that time. But it was a success. It was a 50%. If I remember, because I was not born, if I had read correctly, it was a success because the labor market was closed, capital markets were closed, so there's no capital transactions. It was a totally closed market with a very autocratic labor market. But in today's conditions, I don't think that the devaluations, a devaluation achieve anything. I mean, I belong to this school of economists where we think that rebalancing is a question of savings investment imbalance rather than a change in relative prices. I think that a change in relative prices due to a devaluation is a very difficult thing to achieve in any European country.
Well, I have a question from Gareth Henson. He's a vice president at Conning Asset Management, and he's asking, about Greek exports. Much has been made in the media that the relative weak euro is good for exports oriented for export-oriented economies. At the margin, it will help the peripheries, like Ireland will benefit as a small open economy, but an already ultra-competitive German economy stands to benefit most in this regard as well. Is that the case, and is the Greek economy really that open?
No, it is not. Export is only 20% of GDP that I saw you in the slide. It's about 12% services, mostly shipping and tourism, and 8% is goods, especially manufacturing. So most of trade is addressed to the rest of the Eurozone, so a devaluation is going to have a very limited effect. It's true that American tourists will benefit or British tourists will benefit, but I think the cost of a devaluation must outweigh the benefits of it.
I have another question, but I think you answered that from Mrs. Marianne Gouras, and she's asking about people taking their money out of Greece because there is a concern about Greece leaving the euro, but I think you have already...
I think that happened the previous month, but it has started. It has stopped now, and money is flowing back actually.
But one of the famous rumors that are going around is that okay, Greece will not leave the euro, but Greece will stay in the euro with one leg in, one leg out, and we will have a double currency, a euro drachma in a euro. Is that possible?
Absolutely not. I read these articles, and I wonder. People with a degree in economics knowing the treaty and the Eurozone, how can they have written this thing? This is totally out of the question. This cannot be done. You're out or in. You cannot be with one leg in, one leg out. But if you decide to get out, okay, you have to get out of the European Union altogether. So if Greece decides to leave the euro, it has to leave the European Union, which means it will lose all the money from the European structural funds, which is not trivial. It's 20 billion euros for the next 3 years. So I wish that people they master better hard evidence before they come out with that kind of conclusions. Greece cannot use a dual currency.
Actually, I would like to mention that it's not just a Greek situation here. Even if we take the extreme case that something happens with Greece, we have a domino effect. And the question will be, who then could be the next? And that will eventually mean the dissolution of the European Union. So we just don't have only a Greek phenomenon. We have a whole domino effect.
Nick, you're absolutely right. And actually, I can continue by saying that with my discussion with many analysts, as I said, especially on the your side of the Atlantic, there seems to be a misunderstanding of the euro as a project. Many analysts use the expression to me, but it is suboptimal to have a currency with the European South in it. I mean, these people, they do not understand the nature of the euro. The euro actually was the effect of negotiation, in particular between the French and the Germans, where it was mostly a political project. The reason for the creation of the Eurozone was never to have again war in Europe. So it was mostly a political project rather than an economic and financial one. So, if you talk to people in the European Commission, in headquarters, they really try to understand the logic of analysts, the logic of hedge fund specialists who want to bet against the euro because they say it is a suboptimal area. But this is wrong. The euro area is both a political and an economic project together.
Thank you. So I have another question that is coming from Luke Dowling from Aurelius Capital Management, and he's asking, do you think that Greece will meet the IMF EU criteria that have been outlined to be met in the near future, and if so, why, or if not, why not?
Yes, I think judging from the first 6 months of the year, that we have both brought down the deficit, we have cut expenditure, we start opening up markets and professions. I think we are on the right track. Of course, there are many things that remain to be done, and also there are many risks around. I would point out to certain opportunities for more savings in the public sector. I would put, first of all, the national health system, which is full of inefficiencies. We have 125 state hospitals. They have no accounting books. They have no software systems, which means that procurement is not being monitored well. There are expensive items being bought compared to same items in the UK or France or Germany. So there is a lot of opportunity to save more money by now proceeding with the modernization of the Greece's public sector. The same applies to local authorities. Still, no accounting books. This is very important. As you know, there's no capitalism without accounting books. So just to use a Machiavellian argument, the fact that we are last in the league gives us the opportunity to jump very high. So I'm overly optimistic.
So let me ask you two more questions. One of them comes from Mr. George Yannikakis, and he's asking, he saw a recent TV interview of you in Greece, and he's wondering, where will the growth come from? We all know that austerity measures may put the economy back on track, but at the same time, austerity for the long term means no growth, it means stifling. So where will the growth come from?
Three sources. First of all, don't forget that Greece is a small open economy. It's not the United States, it's not Germany, which means that the main constraint now is not lack of demand so much, is liquidity. And a small open economy, at least all the studies have shown, look at an IMF study, small open economies with a debt of more than 100%, okay, if they reduce debt, this is good for credibility and spreads. The first answer, okay, is that a small open economy which is over indebted, if it brings debt down, it has a positive credibility effect in terms of interest rates. Actually, we had this experience in Greece in the 90s. Don't forget that in the 90s, we had a similar situation as today's. We had a deficit of 17% of GDP in 1993. Okay, so the government, the then socialist government again, took very tough measures. Everybody thought that the economy would collapse, but the opposite happened. Interest rates fell. Okay, so we had we started growing again. At the same time, if you open up markets, if you do regulate, this is a very important impetus to growth. I mean, just to tell you what my view is here, Greece is the last Soviet-style economy in Europe. There are so many constraints. So if you eliminate all these constraints, like cabotage in tourism. I mean, there is absolutely no reason why Greece should prohibit foreign cruise ships. I mean, cruise ships which do not bear the European Union flag to approach Greek. To do home porting. Greece is losing 1 billion euros every year, so almost 0.5% of GDP. If you add all this together, coming from deregulation, the effect is 10% of GDP 5 years from now. So you have a very important source of growth if you open up markets. In my view, the third important source of growth is investment, both public and private. Don't forget that under the European Union structural funds, we have almost 20 billion euros to spend on infrastructure investment for the next three years. And also we have private investment, where there is a queue of investors for energy, green energy in particular, private health, and tourism. So these are the sources of growth. So I'm not pessimistic at all. I mean, keeping in mind the example of the 90s, we managed both to have a very tough stabilization program and at the same time, to outpace the rest of the Eurozone in terms of GDP growth. And that lasted for 15 years, as I showed you in the first slide.
So I have two questions from Bill Evans, Ross and Taylor Investments. The first question is, what are the dates that investors would be watching for in terms of Greece compliance with the various benchmark results set by the program? And the second question is, unfortunately, there has not been much communication to the broader community authoritatively of everything that has been put in place, government reforms, programs, and so on. Or, where can somebody find this information?
Okay. So what was, Nick, your first question?
The first question is, what are the benchmark dates
that
good. Investors should be watching?
I think every month you should watch the progress in the government balance. This is the most important thing to watch. Also, you read the reports written by the Troika every 2 months, if I'm right, or quarter. Now they are producing a report. It will be out in the middle of August. And also look at the implementation of structural reform. For instance, in my view, we had the most comprehensive social security reform ever done in a European zone country, in a Eurozone country. Really, I was actually surprised by the speediness of implementing social security reform, which I find astonishing, given the fact that since the years of the dictatorship, Greece tried to reform social security without success. So perhaps what happened today is a blessing, because we are forced to do things that we hesitated to do, perhaps due to political cost or other considerations, clientelistic, petty considerations, political cost, short-term of politicians that we didn't dare doing for more than 20 years now.
So let me ask you, how often does the Troika evaluate the performance of the Greek economy?
Every 2 months, if I'm right, or three. I think every 2 months, if I'm right, they write a report.
And then there is a report written, and I presume the report is public.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And, okay, the second thing...
The second, you're absolutely right. I think the government was taken by surprise. The government did not realize the pressure of markets. That's why they hesitated to take measures immediately. If you remember, our foundation wrote a letter to the Prime Minister as early as January, asking for measures now, we said. The press actually treated this letter with surprise. Why Greece needs to take measures? So the government lost some precious time. It was not very professional in dealing with markets. So it is true that it needs more communication and better communication policies to explain to markets what's going on every day. So they need somebody to talk to markets on a permanent basis.
I have another question from Professor Giannaros. He is a professor at the University of Hartford, and he's asking, Professor Stournaras stated that Greek total debt over GDP for the private and public combined is not too high relative to the European Union. However, the low debt of the private sector may reflect lower fixed capital investments by the private sector versus the public sector. Could this hurt the Greek economy long term? And the economic growth prospects until these ratios are reversed and the private sector is not facing out crowding by the public sector?
Not really, because private sector investment in Greece is relatively high. It's about 17% of GDP for a number of years. So I don't think that Greece suffered from private sector investment. Of course, part of this investment, of this private sector investment, was and is in housing. But it is much less than what happened in Spain, for instance. So, no, I'm not afraid of this effect. The lower private sector debt in Greece has to do mostly with consumer debt and also company debt.
I have another question from Mr. Jean Elgas. He's an investment consultant, and he's asking, what role do you see for the shipping sector to play in the economic recovery of Greece?
Well, the shipping sector, as you know, belonging to Greek interest is huge. But what is important for Greece is shipping sector under the Greek flag, which is also big. I think it is important because it is one of the most traditional sources of revenue for the current account. It's about, I would say, 6% of GDP every year, which is important. So shipping indices are very important for the Greek current account.
Another question comes from Mr. Kaligas, Petros Kaligas. He's an equity analyst at Delos Investments. It's a fund that invests in various shipping stocks, and he's asking about Greece's competitiveness. Was the overperformance of Greece relative to the Eurozone, slide 5, until 2009, mainly due to the European Union support programs, which are now expiring? Do you consider the announced reforms by the government now sufficient to help Greece return to the outperformance based much more on its own resources? How is the successful implementation of the announced reforms guaranteed? And what further steps do you consider should be taken?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yes, the answer is yes. I think the fact that Greece received a lot of money from the European Union had a Dutch disease effect. That is, it kept the real interest rate higher than otherwise. So, okay, many Greeks benefited from this money, but also this money kept the real exchange rate higher than otherwise, or competitiveness, especially for industry, less than otherwise, smaller than otherwise. So now that this money is, well, it's not exactly running out, because it will continue for another three to four years with the extension, and it's 20 billion, it's not a small amount. But definitely, Greece from now on should gain competitiveness by liberalizing the economy and deregulating market. I will tell you only one example. I don't want to take your time, but take the lorry drivers' strike today. Lorry drivers have taken licenses. The last licenses given were in 1971. They were also a few given in 1986. Okay, let's take 1990 as the benchmark year. We had 36,000 public lorries in Greece in 1990. Between 1990 and today, Greece's GDP more than doubled. So you imagine what has happened to transport costs if Greece has to carry almost double twice as much as the volume of goods compared to 1990. So this is why Greece now is considered to be one of the most expensive Eurozone countries in terms of logistics. So the first effect from the liberalization of the profession of lorry drivers is the reduction of transport costs. Immediately, competitiveness will improve.
I see. Now, we have surpassed the hour. Generally, we try to limit our webinars to 1 hour, but as you can see, the popularity of the subject is immense.
Okay, go on. I can take some more before I collapse.
Let's go for 5 more minutes, and okay. If you don't mind, then I don't want to get you very tired or get our audience very tired. But anyone who does not want to stay on can log out. But since we have so many questions, I think it's worth, you know,
okay,
taking advantage of your presence. Now, another question that we have is on unit labor costs, and it's from Gareth Hanson from Conning Asset Management. He says, are you comparing like with like in the unit labor costs slide? What about the additional perks, benefits afforded to the public sector servants, retirement age of 53, 14-month salaries, and so on? Are these now being changed?
No, this is everything included in the numbers. These are numbers, this includes the total economy, so it's the total salary. It's the total wage bill divided by productivity and then divided by the corresponding number for 20 competitor countries. So this is included in the calculation.
Now, Gareth is asking another question as well. He says, how much of the Greek GDP growth outperformance was a catch-up versus other countries, and how much of it was debt-financed, a credit bench based on the very low level of rates and availability of cheap credit? And now here's the question. If Greece were to live within its means, what is the potential growth rate, and how is it going to be compared to the EU, to the European Union potential growth rate average?
First of all, what do you mean by own means? I mean, we're not living in a closed economy. We're living in a globalized environment. It is true that the financial system was dysfunctioning before. It was taking many risks before. It takes very few risks now. So there was definitely a dysfunctioning of the financial system, which was not taking into account all risks. But as I showed you before, Greek indebtedness, both public and private, is not large. So I don't think that Greece's growth altogether was due to high debts. The question is definitely that we have to bring down the deficit and public debt. Okay, so by doing that, we prove to markets that Greek debt and deficit are sustainable. So this is the question. I think to bring down the deficit to around 3 or 4% of GDP every year, and started reducing public debt, not only through cutting the deficit or through liberalization of markets and deregulation, which increase the denominator, that is GDP, but also using privatization revenues and also real estate development, estate belonging to the state. What I have not explained to you earlier is that Greece might have, the public sector of Greece might have very high liabilities, about 300 billion euros. This is the Greece's public debt. But also, it has very large value of state assets. Up to now, if Spain used too much of real estate development, Greece used too little of real estate, of real estate development. Of course, between 0 and 100, there's a number, there's 50 or 40. So there is a long way for Greece to sell land or to privatize companies and use the proceeds to reduce public debt. So I'm not pessimistic at all. I mean, the opportunities are here for the Greek government to use these two methods and bring down the debt to GDP ratio by much, much larger amount than that shown by the macroeconomic forecast in the memorandum.
Thank you. And Professor Stournaras, with this, I would like to thank you for being with us for an hour and a quarter and for sharing your insight on the Greek economy and the Eurozone. I would like to thank the more than 300 participants in today's webinar. And with this note, we can all disconnect. And again, thank you to all very, very much. And
thank you very much, Nico.
And if anybody wants anything more in terms of questions addressed to you, they can always send us an email, questions@capitallinkwebinars.com, and we will forward them to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye to everybody.